Good afternoon. Got Will here with Rabbit. And Will, if you can kind of give us a little bit of background about yourself, where you've been, what you've seen, what you conquered. You know, yeah. All the ups and downs.
Good afternoon, KP. Really excited to chat with you today. You know, a little bit about me. You know, I was born in Boulder, Colorado, and grew up in the Denver area. I think, you know, one of the things that really kind of defines me as an entrepreneur is that my parents divorced when I was 4 years old. And, you know, neither of them really were very excited about being the one responsible for taking care of me through middle school and high school. And so from a very young age, I learned, like, if I wanted to get something, I had to go and raise the money to do it. And so, you know, in middle school, I raised $800 to go on a trip to New York. In high school, I started a lawn mowing business to pay for books and stuff before I started working at the Marriott. And then college, I started a company to help pay for college. So from a very young age, you know, really kind of took a very entrepreneurial bent towards all the things that I did, as really kind of saw it as no other option to achieve the goals that I wanted to accomplish.
Got it. And where'd you go to college?
Went to college at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville, not too far north from you all down there in Atlanta. Lovely school, highly recommend. I studied architecture and structural engineering. And so ended up with minors in structural engineering and architectural history, in addition to my Bachelor of Science in architecture. Really, you know, what I found in college is that they didn't charge you by credit. It was a flat rate for as many credits as you could take, which was awesome because anybody who wants to get as much as they can, they loaded up as many credits as possible. And so I ended up, you know, 19 credit, you know, semesters all the way through until finally in my fourth year, I decided it was a little bit too much work and I should actually enjoy college for a little bit.
Nice. And where'd you work after college? What'd you get to?
Yeah. So my first job right after college was as a owner's rep real estate developer in Washington, DC. We were doing a 528 unit condo conversion project. So this is back in 06 when condo conversions were super popular. Actually ended up being one of the best performing assets in the company's portfolio at the time. But when I arrived on the site, I think it was 12 months behind schedule on an 18-month project. So needless to say, there was a number of issues that needed to be worked out. But it was a great dive in the deep end into real estate development right after college.
Great. And what'd you do after that? Did you stick in that world or did you make moves after that?
Yeah. So in the great financial crisis, I was laid off. So the company that I worked for went from 160 people down to 40 over kind of a 12-month span. And I was in one of the first rounds of cuts. And right after that, bounced around to a couple firms until I ended up at a construction consulting firm. And so we did a lot of government work, working for different public entities. So restorations of old buildings, renovations of old buildings, actually did a prison elevator at one point, a golf course, a preschool. So really after that, anybody who had the ability to do some construction work during that time, I was willing to go and help and work with them.
Nice. And so what kind of problems did you see? I mean, I think I started my life as a field engineer and you see more problems than solutions when you're out there in the real world. So what did you start to see out there?
Yeah, so on that 528 unit condo conversion project, we were tracking costs at the unit level, which, you know, in retrospect, I'm not even sure why, but we had this massive Excel spreadsheet and I am 100% sure that every single month I found a math error in the spreadsheet. So every month I would be trying to total stuff and I would then have to find out where the math was wrong because without a doubt, there was some error in the Excel spreadsheet. And this is back in the days where kind of the other at least most known software was a company called Prolog. And it was like a 3,000 ton brick for all the things that you could potentially ever want to track on a construction project. And so you had this like two ends of the spectrum, Excel that was infinitely flexible and could be really simple, or this Prolog that was like just a massive, dare I say, bloated software for trying to do everything on a construction project. And there really just didn't seem to be anything that was built for the 21st century.
Yeah. And what did that lead up to? So did you, did you leave there? Did you see these problems and go start something, or did we just hang out and like complain about it?
Yeah. So, you know, luckily through the crisis, I ended up back at a real estate development firm, 2011, 2010. And at that point I had started to kind of buy houses and flip houses on the side. And, you know, what I found is, you know, the market was so hot, kind of like it is today, frankly, that like a house would have 26 offers within 24 hours. True story.
Wow.
And, you know, at that point, if you're winning that house, you made a mistake. But the reality was like you couldn't actually go and look at houses fast enough and run the numbers efficiently. And so you needed to come up with a more efficient way to kind of assess the potential costs on doing a project. And so this idea of having an efficient kind of calculator for tracking construction projects, specifically the costs, became really interesting to me. And I had built out something that, you know, allowed me to quickly estimate the cost to flip a property. And at that point decided, you know, if there was going to be a technology revolution in the construction and engineering sector, that I wanted to be a part of it. And
very cool.
So decided to leave, go to business school, thinking that you needed to know about business to be a good entrepreneur. Jury's still out on that one. But the reality is I came to UT Austin in Texas and started tracking different ideas right at the beginning of business school. And it's quite fortuitous that potentially the number one entrepreneurship market and the number one real estate market are both in Texas 8 years later. So yeah. I think I've made the right decision on that one.
Yeah. Every once in a while, the market moves towards you. You don't have to chase it.
Right. Every once in a while. Four of the top 10 real estate markets in the country are all in Texas. And I'm in the center of Texas. Yeah.
So what prompted, you know, like building a startup, it's rarely a straight line. So what were kind of some of the drivers that went into thinking of, you know, early ideas about what became Rabbit and kind of the iteration of problem identification and studying those problems?
Yeah, so it really actually started out in the residential homeowner market. So when I started the company in college in 2013, it was more focused on helping a homeowner like yourself who's wanting to renovate their kitchen get an estimate for that cost. And it's actually interesting. I was talking to a banker yesterday and she's trying to do some renovation to her kitchen right now. And basically she had like a threshold of, if it's above this, I need to work for another year. If it's below this, I get to retire. And it's, you know, it was very palpable, the importance of understanding how much a project could cost. But the only way for her to do that, even today, is to kind of go and have a contractor come out to her house. And like, frankly, typically three contractors, because you need like a high bid and a low bid and then a medium bid to really know what the range is. And so the initial idea was, hey, could we kind of do a true car for home renovation and give people some bookends of what this project would cost? And then they could, you know, make the decision of whether or not it was worth engaging a contractor and ideally save time for both the homeowner and the contractor.
Yeah. And that seems like pretty far away from where you are now.
Yes. What we found is that space, the cost of customer acquisition to the lifetime value was pretty awful. And getting paid was absolutely terrible. Like, people did not pay their bills. It was really awful. And so throughout the process, we really kind of, you know, talked to a number of homeowners, and it's really understanding the costs and how much things are costing and tracking those costs became the main kind of concern. And so hearkening back to my days of that Excel spreadsheet with math errors in it every single time, you know, I was wondering if there was potentially a better way, and met a gentleman in Denver, Colorado, that kind of said, hey, I just built a house and I don't know how much I spent on the house. And I'm not sure the bank knows how much I spent on the house. And I was like, this moment, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, the banks are spending millions of dollars on houses and they don't even know how much they're spending. And the reality was, as we started talking to banks and homeowners, they're all using Excel to track billions and billions, trillions of dollars of construction each year. And so that was the somewhat circuitous route to where we're at today. I called it a pivot. Some people called it a new company, but we won't mince words on that.
And so what's the problem you're solving now?
Yeah, so the main problem that we're solving is that there's a lack of kind of centralization of information for people on a construction project to make informed decisions. And so primarily for real estate developers and real estate construction lenders that are, you know, processing the monthly draws and, you know, collaborating around getting everybody paid on the project. One, it takes too long. And two, you know, really understanding what's going on is trapped in disparate Excel spreadsheets and PDFs and emails, and really just having a central location for everybody to be on the same page is a massive value. And then you can layer on automation and collaboration and then some, you know, AI and machine learning on top of it that provides excised value for folks. But honestly, just getting everything in one place is a huge, huge start for a lot of people.
Yeah. That's interesting. But so you're, when you look at it, you know, I was always at the bottom of the food chain as a civil engineer. I had to wait, you know, I was the last guy getting paid, and
right,
you know, it was 100 days to get paid. And we always said it was never a question of if we would get paid. It was always just a question of when we would get paid.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you've run, you know, 6 payroll cycles in the meantime.
And so we do our payments report every year. It's actually going to come out next week. So Megan would love your help promoting that. you know, and that quantified the cost of slow payments last year at $100 billion in the U.S. alone. Like, you're floating that payroll while you're waiting to get paid. That's 6 payroll cycles. You know, that working capital for small firms is difficult and costly. Some people are putting that on credit cards. Some people are using their personal savings. And so the payment cycle is extremely difficult. And the reality is the banks are the ones that are dispersing the vast majority of those payments. Mm-hmm. And until we help the banks better collaborate with the developers and better collaborate with the general contractors, it's going to remain a slow process, because push payments only helps if the person who's paying you is the one that has the money. When the reality is it's going through 4 or 5 levels before it gets to you as the civil engineer.
Yeah. And it's interesting right now, you know, we talk about labor shortage, all that, right? And I was talking to a developer yesterday and he said the best way to keep the best contractors working for you, it's pretty simple, pay them on time. It's not even like price. I mean, everybody tries to negotiate a good price, but the amount of cash the industry has to float waiting on someone else, just pay them on time and you will attract the best teams at the best contractors. And now where every contractor has their pick of who they want to work for, it seems like you almost have to do this, right? There's no...
Yeah. And if you think about it, right, there's so many of these new companies that are doing even like same day payroll, right? Like, I work today, I get paid tonight. I work today, tomorrow, I get paid tomorrow night. And if you think about it, right now, construction's at like a 7-week lag on payroll, not much, like much less the same day payroll. And so the truth is that is a benefit to no one, right? Like, the bank doesn't benefit holding onto the money longer. The developer doesn't benefit from waiting to pay the contractors. As you just said, they want to pay these people as quickly as possible. The fact is, it's just such a difficult bureaucratic process in the current infrastructure. But we've confirmed with financial institutions that if you are able to build a better mousetrap here, they will fund weekly on projects. which would massively change the cost to the civil engineer and the interest return for the bank.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the things that I saw the most, for me, the most disheartening thing in our industry is the cost of capital goes up as you go down the food chain. So now all of a sudden you have this poor guy who maybe doesn't even have a bank account standing there waiting for his contractor to write him a check and then walking across the street to a check cashing center, getting like 30% lopped off. And 100% of that paycheck is going to groceries, right? It's not like, oh, I got to make a car payment. It's not even like that, you know, it's not a middle class problem, right? Yeah. And it's one of the most disheartening. And it's all because like the developer, you know, everybody drags their feet, but you know, the cost of capital goes way up as you go down that payment cycle. And it's very disheartening. Like to me, like those are the people that really, really suffer when payments don't get made.
Well, and I think you noted on an important part is like, you are always going to get paid. Like the fact is like, you're going to get paid. The question is when, and the reasons that gets slowed is just bad infrastructure. And so Rabbit is out to build better infrastructure is the shortest way I can explain it.
That's great. Well, it's great talking to you, Will. Is there anything that I should have asked you that I didn't ask you?
Oh, you know, I don't think so. I mean, the industry is in such a great place right now. You've seen so much excitement, so many great firms. I mean, it's the funny story I'll share and then we can go. I went to business school in 2013 and, you know, I was in a program called Venture Fellows, which, helps, business students learn about venture capital. And my professor in the course, is telling about my idea, blah, blah, blah. And like 7 years later, in I think it's 2000, whatever, 19, he emails me and he says, "Will, there was $1 billion invested in construction technology last year. Who would have known?" And it's like, I told you this 7 years ago that this was coming. And so it's been such a fun time to watch, this industry grow and with great folks like yourself. Continuing to lead the charge forward. So thank you so much. Appreciate the support and getting the good word out on all the great things that can happen in the construction industry.
All right, great. All right, thanks, Will.